Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
Normally, Social Studies is the first time every day we hear from Sarah Cazell on the show. But she's already participated in Mock My World. So welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
You're slowly becoming a bigger part of the Bickley and Murata show.
Yes, despite your best efforts.
No, we want more
Just
Sarah Cazell.
Just kidding. Thank you, guys. I appreciate them.
We want to have a Shut Up Sarah shirt.
Shut up, Sarah.
My parents would really like that shirt. All right, guys. The big news of the day, the Pac-12 CEO group. They are meeting this afternoon. John Wilner says it'll be a 3 o'clock meeting. Of course, the fate of the 2020 football season in the hands of the Pac-12 CEO group. So we're starting with this question. Four options for you. What do you think is going to happen? How many football games will ASU play this year? 6 or 7 football games, 7 or more football games, or excuse me, more than 7 football games, 0 football games, or who cares?
Ha! I'll go chalk. I'll say 6 or 7.
I'll say,
who cares?
I'm guessing that if they all start on November 7th, and John Wilner and John Canzano, the two Johns, they're both simultaneously reporting they think the CEO group is going to put a lot of value in everyone going forth together. Mm-hmm. That would be November 7th, the 14th, the 21st, the 28th, December 5th, December 12th, 7 games.
Okay, So you're going for the first option.
7 games.
So they won't play in the championship game?
Well,
Well,
isn't that championship game on December, whatever it is.
I had read the 19th,
yeah.
The day before the college football playoffs.
So that's 7.
Do we know, there only going to be the playoffs?
Right.
Or is there other bowl games?
What's happening? Do we know?
I don't know.
Who knows? That's something I haven't. Yeah.
I guess they're waiting to see how many football games can actually be played this
fall. All I know is if I don't get the Beef O'Brady's Bowl this year, I'm going to be pissed.
We riot!
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Is that even still a thing? I don't think it is.
I don't know. But campingworld.com bowl, right?
There's nothing like turning on the television and seeing 18% capacity at the Sun Bowl. Love it.
Yeah.
If there
or the Bahamas Bowl. It's like, wait,
a year for that.
There's social distancing and it's not even a pandemic.
Right.
Oh, boy. Well, I am surprised by this response. I voted for 6 or 7.
It's what? Not a positive response.
No, it's not. It's not a good sign for Pac-12 football fans, or at least ASU football fans. Who cares at this point? Wins with 38% of the vote.
I knew it.
Wow.
34% voted for 6 or 7 games. 16% voted for 0 games. 13% said more than 7 games.
Wow, that is discouraging.
That's damning, yeah. I mean, especially because ASU is supposed to have such a strong
But it's also indicative
year.
Of the reason why we're
That's
still
exactly
waiting for
right.
the Pac-12 to make
That's
this
exactly right.
decision.
That's yeah. exactly
and
right.
More than half of them, if you combine them, more than half think that they're either going to play 0 or they don't care.
Yeah, that's bad.
How much protesting has gone on at a Pac-12 school by parents who are demanding that their kids get to play football?
Yeah.
Yep. How many coaches have had press conferences where
zero
we're ready, we
want
to
yeah.
point?
Right. Right.
0.
Right.
All right, we're moving on to the NFL. Of course, the Arizona Cardinals, they are playing the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Detroit or Detroit? I think I mix it up. I was listening to you guys earlier. I don't think I'm consistent with my Detroits.
Like to keep it fresh. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, just mixing it up here.
Detroit. Have you ever said Detroit?
I have not gone as far as the Detroit Lions.
Those are the same people that say Tarjay.
Oh, gosh. And they're serious about it. Okay, this is perhaps one of my favorite questions from Jarrett.
Come on.
Who is the greatest lion of all time?
Oh, I love that question.
Is
Simba?
Simba. Is it the Cowardly Lion?
Put him up. Put him up.
MGM Lion, or is it Barry Sanders?
That's a great question.
So good.
It really is.
Or write in your own if I miss somebody.
Oh, don't want to leave a lion out.
Can't do that.
What was the name of the lion that you were so pissed at that dentist about?
Right? Hold on. Yeah. Man, I was ticked off about that.
Well,
you're right.
Is it Cecil?
Cecil the Lion.
Man, look at you, Carlin.
I was going to say Harambe, but Harambe was the
that
gorilla.
Was the silverback, yeah. We've got a big submission from Zach Bishop.
Yeah.
Snoop Lion, a big omission
does
here.
Does he still go by that?
No, he
I don't think so.
Think
I think that was
lasted
pretty
about eight
short-lived.
Minutes.
It lasted about 8 minutes.
I think that lasted about 8 minutes.
Yeah, probably like 8 minutes.
How much time do we have left in social
about
studies?
8 minutes.
He looks like a young Snoop Dogg.
He looks like a young Snoop Lion.
Okay, since we have to vote on one of these, I guess you got to pick the Cowardly Lion. How can you not?
No.
No?
We got to go with Simba.
Okay, put me down for Simba.
There we go.
I'm going Barry Sanders.
Also, Eric Hipple.
We also all dropped the ball. Which is ironic because none of us picked Megatron Calvin Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was bad.
H. Memo responds and says, this is Mufasa erasure.
Yes, I know. I was debating Mufasa or Simba.
I think you made the correct call with Simba.
Yeah. One of them defeated Scar. The other one, you know.
Guess
Simba,
who's winning, though?
Yeah, Simba got my vote, but 50% of the vote.
Who's the...
Hold on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. In Jungle Book, it's a tiger, not a lion. That's right.
Okay. Shere Khan.
That's right. And Bagheera was a panther.
Good memory.
Oh, wow. He's Mr. Uh-huh. Disney over there. Absolutely. Yeah.
And who was a cougar?
One of my favorite Bill Murray
roles.
Are
you asking, Vince?
When he played Baloo the bear in that movie... You've seen that,
I've
right?
not seen the live-action Jungle Book.
Oh, so good.
Oh, yeah, I've heard it was very good.
Bill Murray's interpretation and his playing of the bear, it's so Bill Murray, and it's so funny.
So you're saying
the way he lies to this kid, it's
better,
to get this kid to do what he wants.
Better Bill Murray voice work than his Garfield submissions.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Although he was good. All right.
All right, so Barry Sanders, 50% of the vote for the greatest lion of all time. 31% go with Simba, 11% say the MGM lion, and your original pick, Bic, only 8% for the Cowardly Lion.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. Notice, no respect there.
I mean, that movie is only 80 years old.
I know. I mean,
it's a classic.
Don't let
though.
That stop you. Yeah.
It's a classic.
Who is the listener... who sent in that mock-up, that t-shirt mock-up. I was trying to find the tweet earlier.
Adam. Yes.
Oh, Adam's been hooking it up with the mock-ups, right?
He
did the sweet bippy.
I think the official graphic designer of the Bickley and Murata.
I think he is. I think he just earned that job.
Yeah, I retweeted it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Murata, you can find
it. Let's see a real shirt, Adam. Let's go. The open-ended
question. We also got contacted by somebody who owns a screen printer, so.
And State 48.
Oh,
know,
I didn't see that.
Said we'll take care of you.
Oh,
are you serious? For Sweet Bippy t-shirts?
We are going to have the best sports radio line of clothing
I like
ever.
It. Let's I like
go.
It.
Okay, so the open-ended question, and this can State 48 if you're listening. Here are some ideas. If our show had a t-shirt, what would it say? What would it look like?
I think it would be very funny, and this was the first person I saw say this, is Big Rob, who said we could have one cartoon Gambo on one side, one cartoon Gambo on another side, with just two random athlete names in a thought bubble, with dueling Gambos in the middle. I think that's great. He also suggested Dan Bickley's outstanding.
That would be good.
That was one we forgot earlier.
Yes.
I love the Dueling Gambos idea.
This is the greatest show.
Probably need something like that.
Yeah.
Cheese Doodle Dad, his submission is, this is not the greatest show.
That is outstanding.
The Dan Bickley Show with Vince Murata.
Oh!
Kyle Martin, dang!
You're banned. Aspen designed a shirt that says Bickley and Murata. I'll be listening in the parking lot. I'll listen in the rain. I'll listen on the moon. I'll listen anywhere, anytime.
Yes!
Love it.
I was cackling on my drive-in this morning hearing you guys do that. The parallel universe. That's the line.
I'll play
me.
You on the surface of the Saturn. One of the rings of Saturn. We'll play anywhere. You just set it up. We'll be there.
All right. That is the best.
Oh, this is from Greg. We sound better than we look.
Ain't that the truth?
How about this one? It's a mustache and it's your mom.
Actually, that's reversed. The line is,
oh, it's your mom.
It's your mom, and she's got a mustache.
Yeah. That was sick,
iconic,
dude.
Iconic moment. in this show. Bubba Zen says, I know it's not the Open anymore, but I would really like to see a shirt that said, it's gonna be lit.
Ooh.
That's good.
We got a lot of t-shirt. I never thought of it along those lines before.
Yep. Yeah, I think we need to get on this.
All right.
It's gonna be lit.
And our final question for today. I can't believe I'm about to ask this. I guess you guys covered the topic of fruit with Dave Damashek earlier.
We did. It's one of my favorite moments of the year.
So the question is, what is the most delicious fruit and what is the worst?
And already, I'm going to tell you, just your passing comment about grapefruit has elicited rage.
Really?
From the listeners.
What was the comment about grapefruit?
He said that.
He loves grapefruit. I love grapefruit. I do.
I love grapefruit. People don't like grapefruit?
I guess not. Maybe
Why is there grape and grapefruit?
People love apples. I think apples are horrifically overrated.
You know what
I
think is overrated? Oranges.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
Man, a good orange.
Crap out of my teeth when I'm eating that stuff. Choke on a seed.
But a freshly squeezed orange juice. With a lot of sparkling champagne. Well, I guess that's redundant. That's an orange's true purpose.
Yeah.
In a glass with champagne.
Just a spritz. Yes, a suggestion of orange juice.
For me, the most delicious, pineapple or raspberry.
Ooh, raspberry.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the worst to you, Vinny?
I'm going to stick with orange. It's not horrible. It's just use Bickley's term, overrated.
I feel like the grapefruit haters must have just brushed their teeth before they had a grapefruit.
To me, and I do love grapefruit, but to me, my favorite fruit, which is funny because I do not like melons generally, is cantaloupe.
Yeah.
Cantaloupe is delicious.
But never mind. The worst is any member of the melon.
Oh, come on. A honeydew melon that's nice and cold.
That's where I'm putting the worst. I'm probably putting a honeydew melon over there. Maybe the watermelon over there.
Wow.
But you love cantaloupe.
I love cantaloupe. Yeah.
Honeydew to me is the best of the melons, but they're useless when they aren't just right.
I'll give you
just
true. Right. I'll give you three semi-exotic fruits that I enjoy quite. A kiwi fruit.
All right. Mm. Don't dig it.
A pomegranate. Pain in
definitely
the
don't dig it.
So
eat.
Much work.
And a lychee nut.
Those are good.
Ooh, lychees are
I
delicious.
Do like lychee.
I think the peach is
Mike
the most
lychee.
Underrated.
Robin lychee.
Blood-sucking lychee.
Blood-sucking lychees.
Boy, if you get a mealy, bland peach, though...
Ugh.
Yeah, it's got. That's the thing. It's got to be just ripe enough.
We
just
covered
perfect.
A lot of ground and solved a lot of problems today on social studies. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Coming up next, how dangerous can an 0-2 team be for the Arizona Cardinals? We'll let you know what a couple of their players think next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta.
98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
I mean, obviously, they would love to be able to get a win. I mean, if you're in that position. But, you know, we can't control anything that the Lions are doing or, you know, any of that. All we can do is really control what we're doing and what we're trying to focus on. And the last 2 weeks haven't been good enough for us. I mean, do we have wins? Yes, but we haven't played to the level that we're capable of playing, and we need to fix that. We got holes in our own boat, and that we need to plug those holes. And if we don't, you know, it's going to be a tough season for us moving forward. So those are the things that we're focused on.
Larry Fitzgerald, wide receiver of the Arizona Cardinals, today speaking with the media on the subject of how dangerous is it to play an 0-2 team in Week 3 as a 2-0 team. Football teams, sports teams, they say one thing, they do the other. Right now, it's too early to gauge it. The Cardinals publicly are saying all the right things about their own business.
Very much so.
Whether or not they go out and handle it is another thing. But the level of consistency in the message has been pretty impressive so far.
Well, listen, and like I said, I'm not trying to sit here and just bash on the local media too much. But like I said yesterday, a lot of times when you get that kind of rhetoric from players, it's to counter what they think is absurdly over-the-top questions and absurdly over-the-top excitement from people who are interviewing them who want to feel part of the story. Isn't it great? You know, that kind of stuff. And so as an athlete, you're like, yo, calm it down, homie.
Someone did ask Fitz if he was thinking of running for president one day today. He said no.
Wow.
Did he just say no or did he elaborate?
He said absolutely not.
That has got to be one of the dumbest questions. If you know anything at all about Larry Fitzgerald, really, president?
Jarrett, say in our ear who asked the question.
I don't even need to. You know who it is. It's who you think it is.
I didn't even think it was anybody yet. Yeah, but now that you say that.
I didn't think so either.
But anyway, yes, there were some.
It's who you think it is.
Effusive questions.
Chandler.
First of all, Larry wouldn't work for that little money, comparatively speaking.
Yeah, what's the presidential salary?
Well, used to be $200,000 a year for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot of great perks that go
with
that.
You wouldn't do it for less than $11
million. No. The speech circuit that comes with being an ex-president is phenomenal, right?
Oh, yeah. Write a book?
Oh, yeah. That's where the money is.
Chandler Jones on the same subject, dangers of playing against an 0-2 team.
The Lions are going to come in and play their best football. I feel like this team's going to come out here and play hard. They're getting some of their key players back onto the team, and they're back healthy. So we're going to have to play our best football in order to beat this team, and that's what we're going to try to do on Sunday.
It's not like the Lions are struggling, and we've talked about a lot of the things that are facing them as a franchise right now. The ice is pretty thin under the feet of Matt Patricia as head coach, 11 straight losses, giving away leads. But it's not like they haven't been somewhat competitive.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed Chicago to come back, but they were leading for most of that game. They jumped out to a lead on the Green Bay Packers in week two. So they do have some potential. Matthew Stafford traditionally has played pretty well against the Cardinals. He's still there, which I think is a crime. I'd love to see him move on. Well, I still think he's, as a quarterback, has a lot of gas left in the tank because I don't think the Lions during the remainder of his career are going to get it turned around. But he's a good quarterback who's played well against them. The Lions, as a team, recently, this has been a pretty back-and-forth matchup, and they do meet almost every year. So at least the mindset, the comments publicly, they appear to be in the right place for the Cardinals.
Yeah, listen, that kind of speaks to everything we're talking about here. So if you've got this opponent that perceptually would be really bad to lose to them, that you should beat if your focus is just where it should be, or if they're more dangerous than their perception happens to be, I think that's the case with this Lions team. Mm-hmm. I think that losing streak paints a picture of them that it makes them look worse than they actually are. Now, if you lose 11 consecutive games, you're pretty bad. I'm not trying to say they're not. But to have double-digit leads against the Bears and against the Packers already this season means they're playing really good football for some portion of a game.
Yeah.
And then they're falling apart completely. You don't want to be the team that they put it all together against.
No.
So how do you do that? Well, you come out, A, super hyper-focused. B, you play physical. You run the football. You get on top of the team.
Yeah. I mentioned the consistency of message among team members and coaches. I referenced this earlier, but this was Kyler Murray yesterday. And there is some discussion. Obviously, he's at the center of it from a national basis, all the attention he's getting. But here's Kyler Murray's thoughts on the outside hype.
Nobody needs to stay on me about it. It's not my first time dealing with success in my lifetime. This is part of the game. We work hard in the offseason. We work hard to practice to win. We expect to win. I think everybody should expect to win. So, when you do, you shouldn't be surprised by it. I'm not a guy that gets too high, gets too low. I am who I am. I remain the same no matter what. But like I said, this isn't the first time dealing with success. For me personally, I've done nothing. As a team, I feel like we've done nothing. So we just got to really, continue to work.
He's the best, isn't he?
He got it in there twice, not the first time I've had success.
His level of confidence without sounding like cockiness is great.
What was their record again last year?
5-10-1.
5-10-1. So he is still a sub-500 quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
This and that, to me, I don't think it should surprise people that his attitude is like this. I think I don't think Kyler Murray came into the NFL like Johnny Manziel. He didn't think he was going to come in and wreck this league.
In fact,
you know anything about the way he performed last year, it was a feeling out process. Oh my, can I really do this? I don't think Kyler Murray is going to suddenly go from that to, oh yeah, no, this is great. I've arrived, man.
Think about his path in college. I mean, he was one of the highest recruited quarterbacks in the country, but didn't start right away. Sat behind Kyle Allen at Texas A&M. Then he had to transfer to Oklahoma. Thought he was going to get the football
there
a little bit earlier, but Baker Mayfield stayed, so he had to wait his turn. That'll humble you a little bit.
That's
even
a really
for a
good
guy,
point.
Even for a guy who had that much success at the high school level. And you mentioned it earlier, going into that Dallas game, if the Cardinals can take care of business the next three games and they're going into that matchup at 5-0, he is a folk hero.
He
in
is.
Dallas, Texas.
He is. And so I think that game is going to mean everything to him. I think that you remember how last year Kyler Murray had hit a wall and then Bakes came to town and sort of that me versus Bakes thing.
Yeah.
I know that sounds so ridiculous. How it kind of sparked something in him. I think the ability to play Monday Night Football in Dallas or wherever that stadium is. It would just...
Arlington. The big A. Sorry.
Yeah. So that I think is something that he would just... That would mean everything to him. And now the trick is getting to that game at 5-0. Yeah, and like I said, that really sounds ridiculous. 4-1 going into the game would be perfectly acceptable, but given what we think we see from this football team, given what's in front of them, they should win every game. And yeah, you don't want to lose to the Lions at home. You don't want to lose to the Jets anywhere. The Carolina game without Christian McCaffrey, I don't know. I think if they went to Carolina, lost that game, but happened to beat the Lions and the Jets, the momentum would still be pretty much what it is now. I don't think they have to be 5-0 going into that Dallas game for this audience to be going nutso about them.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can lose to the
Especially
Lions.
Especially because they beat the 49ers.
Yeah.
So if you would have said 4-1 through the first five, you would have said, yeah, they'll probably lose the 49ers and win the other ones.
Yeah. If your first two wins, if you're the Cardinals, your first two wins are against Carolina and Washington. The fact that they beat San Francisco in week one elevated them to a different place. And you can find out on ArizonaSports.com. They're in the top 10 in most of the national power rankings because of what they've accomplished so far. Coming up next as we head into week three, special edition, start, sit, cut, fantasy edition. That's next here on Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta want to know, who would you start, sit, or cut? The fantasy football edition.
All right, we're heading into the first game tonight and a weekend of more fantasy football. So I'll present to you three options, and you'll have to tell me which one you would start, sit, and cut in fantasy for this week's games.
Okay.
Or there's a couple slight variations, but we'll get to that.
And by the way, both of us, Bick and myself, I don't know how your team did, Jarrett. We're coming off victories in week two.
I'm 2-0 in that league.
And I play you this week.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right.
So it's going to be this is the worst case scenario for fantasy because I have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. So it's the worst for my opponent because everybody in that league are Cardinals fans to have to root for a win but not such great stats. You know?
Gotcha.
The big story of last week was all the injuries, especially the running backs throughout the NFL. So we'll go with the replacements for three of the best running backs in the league who were injured last week in the NFL. So we'll start, sit, cut. Mike Davis with Carolina versus the Chargers. Jerick McKinnon with the Niners versus the Giants. And since I don't know how much the new signing will play, I'll give you Deion Lewis and Devonta Freeman for the Giants.
Okay, I'll start with this one. I will start Jerick McKinnon. And earlier this week, I I'm not the kind of guy that tweaks my fantasy team a lot, but everything that had happened and the fact that I had Christian McCaffrey, I said you were right there with me. I said, I'm going to go pick up Jerick McKinnon.
That was a good pickup.
And I went to pick him up. Calvisi beat me to him.
Here, I'm going to make you feel better. If there is a more anxious player going into week three anywhere in the NFL than Jerick McKinnon, I'd like to know who it is.
That's a great point.
He's going back-to-back years. He's torn an ACL, and I'm not wishing it. I'm just telling you, and there's been all this talk about the turf in San Francisco and what they or in New York and what they just went through, and they're playing on it again. I hope he has a good game.
I will sit Devontae Freeman, who will probably get the bulk of the carries against the Giants, at least to see what they get, what he has. I will sit Mike Davis against a really good Chargers defense.
You're going to cut him.
That's what I meant. Yeah, cut him.
I would actually, I don't know how much Freeman's going to play. And with the now compromised San Francisco defense, I would start Lewis and Freeman. I'll sit McKinnon, and I'll cut Mike Davis.
All right. Let's go with some NFC West wide receivers. Start, sit, cut this week. DK Metcalf versus Dallas. Sorry. DeAndre Hopkins versus Detroit. Or Tyler Lockett versus Dallas.
That's weird. There's two Seattle.
I know, but there's no good receivers on.
Robert Woods is not good.
I was going to say all the Rams receivers. You wouldn't take Woods over those two guys, though.
I might. Huh? I mean, they're playing Buffalo's defense, so probably not.
Yeah.
I will start Hopkins against Detroit. I'll sit Metcalf, and I'll cut Lockett.
I will.
No love for Brandon Ayuk either.
Yeah, I will. I will start DeAndre Hopkins. I will sit. I'm going to sit Tyler Lockett and cut Decaf Metcalf.
Decaf Metcalf?
That's what Pete Carroll called him last year. Don't you remember that?
Yeah. Metcalf has been great, though. And it's almost because that was a big thing. They took Isabella instead of him.
Yeah, right.
But if they had DK Metcalf, they probably wouldn't have made the move for DeAndre Hopkins.
I like the way things worked out.
Yeah, I like
that's
the way
a good point.
Works out. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. They probably don't.
Yep. All right. This is one where I'm going to ask you, who would you pick up in fantasy for this year? As in, who has the best chance of starting a game this year? Start, sit, cut. Taysom Hill, Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts.
Ooh. Oh. Go ahead, Vic.
All right. So I am going to start. I'm going to start Tua. I'm going to sit Jalen. I'm going to cut Taysom Hill.
Wow, that kind of surprises me. You mentioned Jalen Hurts looming. Glad to see you got that gap.
Did the same thing as yesterday.
Okay, well, my thinking in that is that Ryan Fitzpatrick eventually is always replaced at some point in time in a season.
Yes.
Carson Wentz, I would think he's going to have some sort of something before he gives up the job. So I think Tua will beat Jalen Hurts to the first start. Taysom Hill, they might want to. Sean Payton might want to start him. I don't think he can. I think they've got to just ride or die.
As long as Breeze is there and healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go start to sit Jalen Hurts, cut Taysom Hill. He'll continue to be used in the offense, but if this old Drew Breeze thing continues where they think he can't throw the ball, I think they'll go the more proven route to Jameis. There's a reason why they signed Jameis Winston. It wasn't a goodwill olive branch. Hey, we feel bad that you've been in free agency so long. Yeah, I agree with that order.
All right, we'll stick with quarterbacks, and we'll go with veteran quarterbacks on new teams this year. Start, sit, cut. Tom Brady versus Denver. Phillip Rivers versus the Jets. Cam Newton versus the Raiders.
I'll start on this one.
Okay.
You said Rivers versus the Jets?
Is that...
I just didn't get a chance to jot it all down.
Yes, yes.
The Colts are playing the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going Rivers against the Jets. I'm starting him. I am sitting Brady against Denver, and I'm cutting Newton against Las Vegas. Not by much.
Okay, I am going to, I'm going to do this. Phillip Rivers is starting, given the lack of quality competition. Cam Newton is sitting. Tom Brady is getting cut.
You just hate Tom Brady.
So?
You just love Phillip Rivers, Vinny. That's why you're starting him.
Yeah. I'm objective.
What's your point?
Dang it. Somebody notice this.
All right, last one.
Somebody noticed this.
3-0-2 teams most likely to get their first win this weekend. Start, sit, cut. The Atlanta Falcons versus the Bears. The Minnesota Vikings versus Tennessee. The Miami Dolphins tonight versus Jacksonville.
Go ahead, Bick.
I will start the Miami Dolphins tonight versus Jacksonville. I will sit the Falcons Sunday against the Bears. I will cut the Vikings against Tennessee.
I'm going, I'm starting the Falcons. I think they beat the Bears.
So do I.
I'm going to sit the Dolphins. I am picking Jacksonville, but that I think it should be a pretty tight game. And I got to cut the Vikings because they've shown no signs of even being competitive.
If they
so
start 0-3 after the expectations they had last year, especially, and they haven't changed the team that much.
Man, man, was I wrong about Kirk Cousins and Johnny Manziel and Max Hall.
Well,
wow.
If those are the three guys you're wrong about,
you got a lot of company.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the Max Hall thing, but yeah, the other two.
Yeah, that's true.
You didn't give Kirk Cousins $100 million.
I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, for you, it's just saying, yeah, I was wrong on that one.
So what?
For the Viking, it's like, yeah, we were wrong on that one, and...
Right.
And they also just paid their running back, right, this year?
Yeah, they just paid Dalvin Cook.
So they have all that money in those two positions, and they could start off 0-3 and essentially be out of it by week four.
Yep.
There you go. There's a Start, Sit, Cut Fantasy Football Edition. We'll do it every Thursday during the season. Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast brought to you this week by the National Bank of Arizona. Coming up next, final thoughts as we head into the afternoon on this Thursday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
This is, you consider this Motown?
Stevie Wonder, part of my team.
This is a double one. First, if I remember correctly, this album was in the top five albums of all time. Yesterday in the Rolling Stone, the songs in the Key of Life. And also, yes, Vinny's.
And wasn't Stevie Wonder kind of like groomed and discovered by Berry Gordy, who was the head of Motown?
But no, I do not consider this Motown, but I picked it for Vince's team. Little Love.
Oh, I thought we were going to get the harmonica there. Yeah, I made the plea to Jared to play one of my artists because I'm going to need the votes in Mock My World. I wouldn't have gone with this
song.
Is that
what this is about? We're not politicizing Song of the Day.
Yes.
We're not using it for personal gain.
Vic, it's 2020. Everything is politicized.
Come on, man. You couldn't have pulled some Marvin Gaye.
Get on board, man.
Kid Rock. Been totally neutral.
You could have played the White Stripes.
Bickley, you're getting no R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Sung by Aretha Franklin, who
well
happens
done.
To be on my team.
Well done, Sarah.
You could have played some Alice Cooper.
Well done, Sarah.
Do you guys like the White Stripes?
Yeah.
I do, yes. A lot. I really
The
like
guitar player is really good. The drummer is terrible.
Well, I mean, she does what she needs to do.
Yeah.
She
there's
keeps
not a lot
the rhythm.
Required
there's
of her.
Them, I saw them live once.
Oh, man.
I was very impressed.
I hear he plays...
He's
the
really good.
And the bass at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a two-person band.
Let's just let this play out. We've done enough work today.
You deserve it.
You can say that
again. What do you want to hear next?
I'll be there, the Jackson 5.
I'll be there.
Play more, Baby Love from the Supremes.
They're more Gary, Indiana.
That's true.
Even though, you know, the Motown connection.
Ain't no mountain high enough. Diana Ross. David Ross. Ross Dress for Less.
Ross from Friends.
Ross Geller.
The worst. Ross is the worst on Friends.
Valentino Rossi.
Martini and Rossi.
Asti Spumanti. Is there a gas leak in here in the last couple of days? Goodness gracious, we are goofy. The injury report is out for the Cardinals today. The Thursday update for Arizona. Still no Mason Cole, Christian Kirk. They did not practice. Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins returned to full practice. Jordan Phillips with that ankle limited. And Byron Murphy and Buda Baker were both on the list yesterday. Murphy was limited yesterday, full today. Buda Baker's been full participant both days. Nobody outside of Hunter Bryant, the tight end for the Lions, did not practice today. Everybody was at least limited on their
injury list. Okay. Big football game. Pivot football game. You get the 3-0, you're basically a slam dunk for the playoffs. Yeah, I said it, Carlin.
And you, again, I could kind of see when Dave Damashek talked about the possibility of 5-0.
He brought it up.
You were beaming a little bit. Dan Bickley ahead of the curve.
Uh-huh.
Hope it doesn't come back to bite you.
It might.
From the...
And speaking of Dave Damashek, that Pittsburgh accent he did today, with that was just fabulous.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're not very common. But when Damashek did the Pittsburgh accent, and then in the history of the show, when Craig Shoemaker busts out the Philly accent.
I was just going to say, I would love to have them duel in
Pennsylvania. Eastern accent. Pennsylvania it's against Western Pennsylvania.
Oh, think of that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea right there.
Cardinals play Pittsburgh or Philly this year?
No.
No, they played Pittsburgh last year. I don't know if you saw this story. Talk about the optics are out of control file here. In Kentucky high school basketball, they're going to play, but because of social distancing and the coronavirus pandemic, they're not going to have a jump ball. They're going to determine the first possession by a coin toss.
Okay, I did see that. I mean, come on.
What?
Really?
So for
the rest of the game, they're going to be
everything
on top
is
of
fine,
each other.
But the jump ball...
Yeah, the home team will make the call on a coin toss prior to the game. If the game goes into overtime, the visiting team will make the call. Won't be the only difference for Kentucky high school players. Post-game handshake line won't take place. That makes sense. Schools are now required to develop protocols for temperature screens prior to events.
Hmm.
Why don't they do jump balls in college basketball?
I think that's more a product of, and even if you watch the NBA... Officials can't toss the ball
You're
correctly.
You're so right about that. They really can't.
Even in the NBA, they're terrible at it.
Yeah. There are rarely ever equitable jump ball situations where the ref doesn't...
I mean, it's not an easy thing to do in that position, and then you have to try to get out of the way of 2 7-footers who are trying to jump up and tap the ball. I get it, but...
They should shoot it out of a cannon. You'd like that, wouldn't you, Carlin? Just kind of put it in a big thing and, like, pull it
I always thought it would be cool if there was, like, just a spot at center court where... Something would come up from underground.
Yeah, I like that.
And thrust the ball up and then completely disappear.
Like Old Faithful. Like a geyser.
Or like Lady Gaga coming out for the Super Bowl halftime
show.
That
too. It's, right.
Yeah, just put the ball on the top of her head.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think it should be on top
Lady
of
Gaga from
guy.
Detroit?
Lady
no,
Gaga.
I think she's
New York?
Jersey? New York, New
yeah,
Jersey.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Eastern Pennsylvania or Western Pennsylvania, but a 96-year-old woman in that state became the first person at her local bowling alley to roll a no-tap 300, meaning she knocked down at least 9 pins in each frame. Sarah Lyons, who will turn 97 on November 30th, she finished her game with a score of 300, becoming the first person to do so at the alley.
You lost me this. What is a no-tap 300?
You have to get a strike every
to get a 300. 9 pins isn't going to get you there.
A spare is not going to work. Unless they give old ladies an extra 3 frames.
Yeah, she said, I had all strikes. She said, quote, I had all strikes in a row, not an open frame at all. She told KDKA. That's Pittsburgh. That's Western Pennsylvania.
Yes, it is.
If we could only get Damashek to give us that quote and that accent.
I don't know if you could find two regions in a state more different than Western and Eastern Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah? You ever been to California?
Northern and Southern?
Rural and Southern.
Okay.
I haven't
Sacramento
spent much time,
and
I haven't spent much time in rural California, I gotta be honest. Speaking of 300 games, you're more of a golfer than a bowler.
Definitely.
You've never had a hole-in-one, correct?
I have not.
Do you think you'll get a hole? If you bowled regularly, what do you think would be more possible? It's got to be the hole-in-one because
definitely.
It's one shot as opposed to...
Oh, I fully anticipate having one before the end of my life. I do.
No pressure.
No pressure or anything. I mean, it's got to happen sometime, doesn't it? Well, maybe not. I plan on it anyways.
I'm not planning on that for myself.
All right, so here it is, and it becomes much less impressive when you hear the definition of a no-tap 300.
She's 96 years old!
Yeah, let's not get hung up on that, but go ahead, I want to hear it.
You only have to get 9 pins down on your first shot, and they count it as a strike.
So I've never heard of this before.
If you get a 9 or a strike, it's a strike. On your first ball only.
That's ridiculous.
Why does that exist?
For old 96-year-old women.
That's why they have the bumpers.
Right.
That's still pretty good. I mean, it's really only a 90.
Exactly. It's only a 90. If you bowled a 9 and then missed the spare
on
everything.
That's not a 300. That's a 90.
Now, she said she got strikes on everyone, so it didn't matter that she
was. But I don't know why they specified it as a no tap then.
Right.
It would qualify under any circumstance as a 300.
Wow.
That's shoddy news reporting right there.
It really is.
KDKA. Broadcast pioneers that they are. the MetLife turf at the stadium has been ruled okay. Somebody talking in my ear. It's been ruled okay ahead of the Giants 49ers game, despite the complaints from the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay as in it's fine or as in, it's okay.
It's okay fun.
It's okay fun.
It's okay fun.
It's okay.
Multiple
okay,
players on the 49ers complained of how sticky the playing surface was, took to Twitter and their Zoom media sessions to vent their frustration after the game. Kyle Shanahan was among the most vocal, so we'll see what happens. Do you change? They're not going to change the turf. Do you change your footwear? Man, it's been a rough go for San Francisco so far.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And a guy like Jerick McKinnon, who's blown up his knee before, that's rough.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you to Dave Damashek for joining us. Thanks to putting up with our gas leak shenanigans on a Thursday.
It's going to be worse tomorrow.
We'll probably keep it up on a Friday. Burns and Gambo are up next. We'll see you tomorrow. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.